be with you, even though it's via live stream for the most part here in this snowy October day, which caught me by total surprise, even though I'm a lifelong Alaskan. Crazy, huh? Hallelujah. 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 I would like you to join with me singing this, inviting the presence of God to come and to align our spirits together and to get us in one mind, one accord, so we can receive what God's wanting to impart today to you in your own home. Hallelujah. We're apostolic, so we should be able to feel the Holy Ghost just doing this. Hallelujah. 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 Feeling what we're feeling in this building right here, the peace of God is, that's our inheritance. No matter what it's doing in the world and the chaos, you should have peace in your home. You should have peace in your spirit. That is our inheritance, that's our right, and that is our guide. Sterling Pentecostal Church, we're New Covenant people. And so to be a new covenant relationship with God, you must, according to Scripture, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, full immersion underwater for the remission of your sins. And that baptizes you into the body, the spiritual body, living body of Jesus Christ. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in unknown tongues, is God's Spirit gives you the utterance. That's the Holy Ghost. That is also part of this new covenant relationship. In fact, Acts 5 speaks about God giving it to those who obey him. So if you obey God, then you'll have the Holy Ghost. If you don't, then you won't. That's pretty simple. But just to get that, if you're a visitor, you happen to be looking at this, I doubt you are, but if you are, that's what we believe here. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. It starts with Acts 2:38 and goes on and on. We'd be happy to give you a Bible study. If you're a backslider, you need to pray through back through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to have that refreshing in your spirit. You need to come to repentance. That baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is probably what kept you alive to this point. And we're not playing games at this point. And if you're a backslider, it's just as easy as you are getting over your pride, getting over the hurt, or getting over whatever's causing you to continue to stay away from the Spirit of God, stay away from the Church of God, to come to yourself, realize that you need God, to realize that the rapture is very, very soon to come, to realize that heaven and the lake of fire that burns forever is real. You need to come to that realization that we aren't dealing with just politics right now. We're not dealing with just chaos in America. What we're really dealing with is the clash that's fixing to come between the Antichrist and the ultimate defeat at the hands of Jesus Christ. And what's fixing to take place is the rapture. And that could happen at any moment. We're not playing games any longer. You need to come to yourself. You need to repent. You need to weep before the Lord. It's by his grace that you're saved. You do nothing to earn this. And you've probably done nothing to stay alive to this point. It's been the grace of God. And you need to come to yourself, and that's as easily as just in your room repenting, turning back to God and being refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as that joy begins to come in like an infusion, an IV infusion of joy. That's a necessity for anybody watching right now. If you want to guarantee that you go to heaven, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, full immersion for the remission of your sins into the body of Jesus Christ. And you need to speak in other tongues. It's God's Spirit gives the utterance, which is the Holy Ghost, and you need to have an active Holy Ghost experience. For you guys that are watching that haven't prayed through in quite a while, that's very dangerous. And I don't have any faith at all that that's good enough to make heaven. You need to be speaking in tongues every single day. You need to have an active spirit environment. Amen. Live stream. We're dealing with some things right now, the seasonal flu. And so Pastor Glover, who has a Caleb anointing, he has more energy than a 69-year-old should have. And he has more get up and go and a vibrancy about him that's it's a supernatural kind of a blessing. And so when Pastor Glover reaches the point where he needs to take a day off, you know he's been doing quite a bit. And that includes chopping firewood and running here and there and everywhere and building a floor for our shed in our backyard and doing all kinds of things. And so today is live stream, which is not near the same as being in a church building together. There's absolutely no replacement for being in church. There's none. That's one of the biggest lies that we bought into early on during this COVID-19 crisis was how great the live stream would be and we'd be reaching all kinds of people. That's not true. I have the perfect example for you. This cold October day, think about Thanksgiving. It's below zero, 40 below zero, 30 below zero. I want you to live stream a fireplace. You can put it on the biggest screen you want, and you'll be able to see the flames burning the wood and hear the different pleasant sounds of the fire burning, but it will not provide you heat. You won't be able to feel it, and it's not going to be adequate. Your house will freeze. Your pipes will freeze, and that's live stream. That's just an example, but I've described, I'm sure, numerous people's spiritual lives just now. Because live stream is the exact same way. Your spiritual house is just going to freeze up, going to grow cold, and it's going to die. Because you cannot receive on live stream what you can receive in a building. You have to be very hungry. You have to be very considerate of your own salvation. You have to be very diligent in that effort. You can't rely on Pastor Glover, Sister Glover, the music to get you in the flow. If you're at your house, you've got to make the effort to get in the flow. You've got to make the effort to be engaged with the teaching. Sister Donna Nichols taught a great lesson this morning. But if you were distracted, if you had it playing, but while at the same time you're playing with your dog or you're doing different chores, you're not engaged and you're not catching every single thing that Sister Donna is putting forth. Now, the nuggets of truth are just the importance of the Word of God. And the Word of God is the most important thing for us for conviction, for working and bringing us into the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's the Word of God. It's so very important. And when we're hearing the Word of God taught over live stream, if we're not fully engaged, we will not receive anything. It's so easy just to look away, do other things, and I would guess that at least half of the SPC congregants aren't even watching right now. That's just the way things work. So live stream is not a replacement at all. Don't fool yourself. You need to be in an environment. Pastor Haney came to Anchorage one time. He had the entire Anchorage church come up to the front and hold hands and begin praying in the Holy Ghost. And so there's people that are dynamic. There's people that are on fire, and they burst right into praying loudly in the Holy Ghost, and they're really feeling it, whereas other people are a little more hesitant to get involved. But over time, those people that are on fire begin to get the other people that are hesitant to get in that flow of the Holy Ghost. And then there becomes a point where it's an even current around that entire building. These people are holding hands and praying in the Holy Ghost, and everybody's feeling that flow of the Spirit. You can't do that on live stream. You can't. It's got to be in this building. This building here, this altar is an emergency room. As a combat medic, I would call it the combat casualty care that we were trained to do with under fire. You're in conflict, you're in battle, and you're trying to stop bleeding, and you're trying to get people to safety. That's what this altar here is. It needs to be. It's the down and dirty business of talking to people who are going to lie to you. They're going to tell you that everything's okay. That's what we do. We lie. So the first thing you do is lie. And so we have to break through that lie to get to the real truth of what's going on in your spirit, or what's really bothering you, or what's hindering you here from praying in the Holy Ghost or getting your breakthrough. And it's a personal thing that has to take place, trust and love and faith and the building up of faith by each other, and the pricking of each other's faith, and the talking people into anointing and ministry that takes place in a building, not on live stream. Enough of that. Faith versus fear. I'm just going to talk about a few things before I start to preach. Job 3:25 and 26. He's beginning to talk with his great friends. And he says, verse 25, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Guess what? The seasonal flu has hit Sterling. Whatever code name you want me to use. We have an outbreak of COVID in Alaska now, finally. And it's faith versus fear. Faith and fear are both doorways to the supernatural. Did you know that? It's just that fear is a backdoor, if you will, to the demonic. Fear opens the door to torment, and fear opens the door to all kinds of superstition that takes place. And you see it in countries where people aren't educated as much as we are in America, and fear is what rules the day. It's a doorway. Faith is a doorway to the supernatural works of God. And without it, we can't please God. And so this is a battle here of faith and fear. There shouldn't be any fear about COVID-19. It's going to be a drag. And it's being sick isn't any fun. But we entered this season with promises. Early on, we received promises from God. And there are so many tongues and interpretations that have taken place since COVID-19 hit from this platform by Pastor Glover and other men and women of God that are so powerful. And we need to be writing those down. There's some of them I've missed here lately, but I have a few for us. Because 1 Timothy 1 and 18, Paul's talking to Timothy here. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience." It's by these prophecies here, it's by even these tongues interpretations and receiving them that we're able to war a good warfare right now. Because we do not live by what we are seeing, feeling, what we are experiencing with our natural senses right now. We live by faith. And we speak into existence those things that are not as though they were. That's our job. Our job is to take what we're experiencing here, hell on earth, and bring heaven to it and to transform it. And we have promises here. Remember Isaiah 41, 2 through 13. That was one of the promises God gave this church, Sterling Pentecostal Church. I'm just going to read a few verses. Verse 10, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See all your angry enemies lie there confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand, I the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, I'm here to help you." I've been praying that every single night with my girls, and I thank God that he's carrying us through this season in his right hand, and we're going to come through it victoriously. That's how we war a good warfare with these prophecies that have gone on before us. March 15th, 2020, Pastor Glover, "I the Lord declare to you now, fear not. Fear not, for I am the God of all. I am the God that is complete. I hold you in my hand. My presence is with you. Do not fear. The enemy of your soul would try to hold you back, would try to keep you down, would try to destroy you. But I hold you in my hand. I cover you with my blood. You are mine. I called you mine. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bring you through." That's a word from God to Sterling Pentecostal Church. You receive that, and that's what you war good warfare with. That's what you war good warfare with on the fears of what the unknown is with this COVID-19 or with what's going to take place. That's what you war a good warfare. Fear not. Easter Sunday, Pastor Glover, "Again I ask, is anything too hard for me? Is anything that I cannot accomplish? Is there anything that I cannot accomplish in your life? No, I can work. I can show you my power. I can reveal my strength. Reach out to me. Call upon my name. Believe me. Claim my word and my promise. I will work for you. I will show you my power. I will reveal my strength to you. Call upon me and draw near to me. Nothing can hold it back, and I will show you my strength on your behalf." I hope you're feeling the Holy Ghost with these few prophetic words that I've got copied down. May 26, 2020, Pastor Glover, "Oh, my people, I would show you so much that I can give you, so much that I can provide for you. Recognize my promises will be fulfilled. They're not empty. They're not fables. Be faithful, and I will show you. Be hungry, and I will feed you. Seek me, and you will find so much more than I long to give unto you, so that you would be eyewitnesses of all that I could do and all that I could show." Does that mean you're going to die? Probably not. "Follow after me. Believe me and receive my touch." Praise God. That's just a few, just a very few of the tongues interpretations that I copied down. I was going to give you the one from September 3rd, but I guess I didn't put it in this little packet here. But we received a very powerful prophetic word on September 3rd also. That's when we were praying for America. And God gave us a promise for that. He said he longs for our call and our cry and prayer. And when we do it, he will provide, he will bless, he will hear, he will move. Powerful words. And he was promising what we were doing there is going to take place. And so we have a fight and a battle that's going on right now. And we are now facing some of this face to face. It's COVID against all these promises. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing that can touch these promises. That's what we war good warfare with. We don't look at how we feel right now or what's going on right now. We speak these promises until we see them come to pass. We thank God for doing them, and we quote them over and over and over again. There's promises I quote every single night. I've done one since March 8th of 2016. It's the promise God gave Megan and myself when we moved here, and he's still bringing it to pass. That's how you war a good warfare in faith. That's how you don't succumb to fear. We need Sterling Pentecostal Church to be focused on what's going on in the world, not what's going on in Sterling. We need you focused on what's going on in the presidential race, not what's going on in Sterling. God needs your prayers for President Trump. He needs your prayers for the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. He needs your prayers for the vote. He needs your prayers for all those things to take place and for President Trump to be reelected. He needs your prayers for it. Your prayers matter, and we can't have you focused on what's going on right here, right now, and being overcome by fear of what's going to happen. Are you going to die or not? We have prayer requests. Tom Hugh, who? So with COVID-19, I mean, big COVID-19 is going everywhere. No one's done anything wrong. You're just going to get COVID, and we're going to get over it. But the Smiths have it. The Villas have it. Thomas Villa, Pelletiers, Life Church, Sanctuary Fairbanks has outbreaks. The Wickers, the Waggis Packs. We just need to pray that we're able to just bear through it, that God's will is accomplished with this COVID-19, as well as with the other flus that kill people. The other sicknesses that kill people. And so we have the flu season here, so there's people not feeling good. Me and my family aren't feeling good. Pastor Glover is feeling a little down. He's got a sore throat or had one. Sister Glover is recovering from surgery. Carlene Mueller had a fall, and she snapped a tendon that allows her to raise her arm, so she's going to have surgery. God doesn't heal her, so we need to pray for Carlene Mueller. And let's pray for Marilyn Inslee, Howard and Bill Heiler, Sister Yaden with her pneumonia. I haven't got an update on that. Let's just go ahead and pray together right now for these needs, all the sicknesses, everything that's going on. I just kind of whipped through a bunch. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your blood and those promises that you have given us long before COVID-19 came here to the peninsula and came to our church. We've been walking in these promises that you're going to carry us through this season in your right hand, and we are going to come through victoriously, and your power is going to work powerfully through these people of Sterling Pentecostal Church. That's another promise he spoke. He promised his power. He promised his light. So your light's going to shine through us in the spirit, stronger and brighter than the noonday sun. And we are going to overcome all darkness and all evil in America. We're going to overcome whatever is coming against your perfect will being accomplished. Give strength to your people in Sterling Pentecostal Church. Give them strength in their mind, in their body, soul, spirit. Help them to look up and not look around. Help them to see what you would have them see supernaturally, not what's going on in the world, not what's going on in their bodies. That we would walk by faith, that we would not be double-minded, but that we would stand strong in the power and the might wherewith you're able to make us stand strong in the Holy Ghost working through us and you doing a work in us. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you continue to heal Misha's body up from her surgery and be with Carlene Mueller with her upcoming surgery. Lord, according to your will, heal her. Lord, I pray for Ema Inslee and Howard and Bill Heiler. I pray, Howard Heiler, pray back through to the Holy Ghost. I pray for salvation for Bill Heiler, for the guests. I pray for salvation for all of the backslidden children that are represented by this church and the backslidden adults that have come to this church at one time. Bring them back somewhere in Jesus Christ's name. I pray for Sister Yaden that you heal her pneumonia up completely. Wipe out COVID from Life Church and from the Sanctuary of Fairbanks, from this church, from the Kenai Church, and whatever other apostolic churches there in Alaska that's coming through. And that we would just get through it, that we would not be succumbed by fear, but we would just grind through this in faith. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Aaron, how many people are watching? 13? Good, so I'm not wasting my time. I've been torn here. I don't know exactly. There's two different messages I have, or two different areas I want to go, and of course, if you don't know by now, I have a very wise opinion when it comes to what's going on in America, and I'm right and you're wrong, just kidding. But we are facing some things here, and I think it's very applicable right now to talk about what warfare really looks like, what it has looked like in the Bible. I know when we're preaching and when we're preaching faith and we're preaching truth, and we're preaching about the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost, you have all these different aspects that come into play when we start to talk about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is a lot like prophecy. What I mean by prophecy is like the book of Daniel and Revelation. There's a lot of people that have opinions on what is the right way to go about doing spiritual warfare, and what's the correct way to overcome the principalities of the area, and how to go about doing that, what kind of a strategy to follow. And that's great, and I have my opinions on that, but I think it's a lot simpler than we make it. We like to be the ones that have the answers, I guess, maybe, but I believe it's a lot simpler than we make it. And warfare is warfare. If you've ever been in the military at all, one of the first things you realize is that when you signed your name on the dotted line and you committed to however long you committed to, that they now own you. And so the military can literally do whatever they want with you. And they can have you do the dumbest things. And they can have you sit around in groups for hours and hours and hours just so you can come to attention for when the lieutenant colonel finally decides that he can come down and dismiss the battalion and take 5 minutes doing it. You're sitting there for 2.5 hours on the cement, on the pavement. You're starting to crouch because your back's hurting. Then he comes, does his little thing, and it's done. And that's all you were doing, was sitting there waiting for him. But for whatever reason, you had to be like 2 hours early to do it. Just the dumbest things. But the military teaches you discipline, and it teaches you how to follow orders. You either follow orders or you end up in jail, ultimately, or you get kicked out of the military. And the military and army and the Navy and all the brilliant things the Marines do, and it's so wonderful. You see the clips, and it looks so much like so much fun, but it's chaos, really. War is chaos. War is not easy. There's no perfect way to do anything. Generals do a great job of strategizing, but as soon as the military starts to engage with each other, all that kind of stuff goes out the window. There's so many things that you cannot plan for. And so God's made it easy for us in that he would rather than us trying to figure out what principality it is up there that we're trying to get authority over and what kind of strategy to use, he would rather us be bold and praying in the Holy Ghost. Is that too simple? Probably for most of us, yeah. But that's how God taught me how to war, is praying in the Holy Ghost and not picking a fight, just trying to get close to God. And then God eventually taught me how to flow into those seasons, very short seasons of violent warfare in the Spirit. And that's praying in the Holy Ghost. That's not me trying to figure out what to bind, what to loose. I'm relying on God to do that. It's called rest. When you don't have to figure anything out except how to flow in the Holy Ghost, it's pretty easy, really. When you can learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost, besides being the funnest thing that I can possibly think of to do, there's nothing I like better than flowing in the Holy Ghost in a service and seeing who God's going to be working through and who in this building is God chosen to do this tonight or do that and pray this prayer this morning or what have you. It's so much fun to flow in the Holy Ghost. That's one thing about the fivefold ministry here in this church is that it empowers you to do ministry. We're not the ones that are the only ones that can do ministry. We expect our people to grow into ministry. Pastor Glover expects you to be developing into ministry. Husbands, you should expect your wives to be growing in their relationships with God in ministry. I think the best, I was talking with my wife, our 10-year anniversary just came up, and I was talking with her, and I was and comparing what a wedding anniversary is to the world to what a wedding anniversary is to us. We compare how good our marriage is doing. One of the main comparison we use is how much has my wife grown this year in her relationship with God. That tells me how good I'm doing as a husband. That tells me how good our marriage is doing. Is my wife growing in her relationship with God? Is she growing in her own ministry? Is she finding time to develop what God's given her? That's an attribute that should be in every marriage in Pentecost, in the apostolic movement, is your wives are growing, your husbands are growing, and you're expecting it of them, and you're pushing it out of them. You're pulling it out of them. That probably just sounded like Greek to a lot of people. But in this season, this election that's coming up, God gave us a promise that I do not believe is by any means secure. It still requires movement. It still requires praying in the Holy Ghost on behalf of America and on behalf of righteousness. There will not be a harvest until abortion's gone. Trust me, there will not be this final great thrust, if it ever happens, until abortion is gone. Abortion is the blight of America. You look at Moses, this great man of God that I'm going to talk about a little bit. He was born in a time when the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was demanding that the midwives kill the boys when they were delivered. And the midwives, fearing God, wouldn't. And when they were confronted by the king of Egypt, they said that the Hebrew women were much stronger than the Egyptians, much livelier, and the births were so fast that they didn't have time to stop it or to kill the baby boys. And because of their fear of God, God actually gave those midwives their own families. That's a beautiful thing. But Moses was born. And 3 months, we know the story. He's in the basket. He's floating down the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter comes and bathes, and his prophetess sister, Miriam, makes that whole connection with boldness. You think about that, a little Hebrew girl. You think about her approaching Pharaoh's daughter, all the women that would have been with her, probably even guards, and having the boldness to step forward and ask if she needed somebody to take care of this baby. But just that whole story of Moses, I wonder how many Moseses have not had a chance to be born in America. I wonder how many great men and women of God that were called Before I formed you in the belly of the womb, Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. How many ordained prophets have not even had a chance to be born? Because they've been aborted. Abortion. Without stopping that, we're not going to see this harvest. We need to be praying for Amy Coney Barrett. And we need to be praying for righteousness to come into this land. We need to be praying that God would have his perfect will accomplished in America. And we need to be praying bold prayers for President Trump. It's funny, Sister Donna was talking about Jonah today in her lesson. And just think about Jonah. He refused to go to Nineveh because he hated all of them. But we revere Jonah. We talk about Jonah, how powerful he was, and the story of the belly, him being in the belly of the whale or the big fish, I mean. And it's such a wonderful thing, and such a powerful preacher. He gets everyone to repent. He hated him. And then people judge President Trump for how he talks. So it's so amazing to me that the ridiculousness, how many hypocrites there are, and how stacked the deck is against God's kingdom, or that's how it appears. If we look at it, that's how it appears. But we need to realize that this is a spiritual battle. And so I can talk about it right now to you, but we only do anything besides voting. We only do anything worthwhile praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you can even say it if you feel like it. God, I'm coming before you, and I'm wanting to pray for President Trump. I'm wanting to pray for America, and I pray that you would use me in spiritual warfare, if that be your will. You can say something like that, and then start praying the Holy Ghost if you want to. Or just pray in the Holy Ghost, and just trust God's going to begin to teach you how to war. It's warring in rest. It's warring without knowing what you're fighting for, what you're saying. You're speaking in an unknown tongue. You're speaking mysteries, but you're speaking something that's powerful in the Holy Ghost. God's speaking through you. And when you get into that dimension of real spiritual warfare, praying in the Holy Ghost, it's so powerful that he is breaking something as soon as you're speaking it. And there's nothing that can stop praying in the Holy Ghost when God is speaking through you with righteous indignation. And we need people in Sterling Pentecostal Church to be praying until God begins to speak through them with righteous indignation, allowing that anger to just come upon you for that short while, so God can speak and you can feel what he's feeling, and he can destroy what he needs to destroy in the spirit. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't understand. You're resting. You're just following the leading of the Holy Ghost. It's simple. And that's how we're going to win this warfare, is praying in the Holy Ghost. But warfare is not easy. When do you think we look at this story of Moses being called to be a deliverer for the Hebrews in Egypt? Moses didn't grow up with the Hebrews. Moses is an outsider. Moses feels that call long before it's ever recognized. And as he is an adult, he chooses, according to Hebrews, to suffer the afflictions instead of living the soft life of Egypt, a very well, powerful, spoken man. 13 languages, according to Nathaniel Haney. I received that. According to Jason Sisko, he was trained in all the trade paths. He knew, and that's why they were in the wilderness. They were connecting to all the trade routes, and people would come through, and they'd trade with them, and that's where they kept going on those 40 years in the wilderness. He was very wise and very much a meek person, the meekest. And so he sees that the Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, and he kills that Egyptian with his bare hands. He looks around at first to see if anyone's going to step in to help that Hebrew. But that's the world today. No one does. No one steps in to help the innocent person getting beat. Somehow things have changed to the point where the person beating that innocent person is the victim. That's the world we're living in right now. He looks, no one's there to help. He kills that Egyptian. He buries him in the sand. The next day, he sees two Hebrews fighting. He sees it start, apparently. So he goes up there to the one that started the fight, and he confronts him and says, "Why are you fighting with your brethren?" And they go, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us. Then he says, are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian? Moses realizes that he's in trouble. And so then Pharaoh decides that he wants to kill Moses. A prince and a judge over us is what he said. Verse 14 of chapter 2, intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And so Moses fears, he flees into the wilderness until that Pharaoh dies. They've got the burning bush experience. And God begins to give him a revelation of who he is. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. The I am. That's my eternal name. And he said, my memorial for every generation. This is my memorial. Memorial is, I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. That means he's the God of Megan Glover. He's the God of Aaron Villa. He's the God of Jackson. He's going to be the God to every generation, is what he was saying there. I'm not just a God of generalities, but I am a specific God. I'm going to be your God. He's the God of whoever's watching. Sharon Denny, he's your God. He's the God of the Denny's. He's the God of the Glovers, Misha and Pop. That's what he was saying there in chapter 3. And so he's given Moses this revelation of who he is, and he's setting him up. And so Moses really does need Aaron to speak to the Israelites, because the Israelites aren't going to receive Moses. They're not going to receive somebody that hasn't suffered with them, that's never been a slave. And it takes Aaron coming with Moses to even get the Israelites on board. But before all this happens, in Exodus 4, he gives them this powerful revelation, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. He tells him to say that. Let me ask you, and there's different versions say it differently, but the way this is spoken, was God saying, if you release him, if you release Israel, my firstborn, I'll let your son go? Or when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to the way God works, how about both things were going to come to pass no matter what? We look at things, we get a word, and we compartmentalize it to our understanding when it's spiritual. And we can only look through spiritual eyes. Both of those things were going to take place. No matter what Pharaoh did, Pharaoh didn't have a choice. Moses went into Egypt with this already a guaranteed done deal. And that is the first thing of spiritual warfare that we need to realize. When God puts us into a dimension of spiritual warfare, we are entering it only because it's already a done deal according to God. According to God, in his perfect work and plan, he is going to perform exactly what he said he's going to do. And if he sends us to go to battle and to warfare, it's because it's already been designed for our victory. He's already seen it, and it's already planned. We just have to be obedient to God, and we just have to flow in the Holy Ghost. We just have to be sensitive to what God's saying and obedient. When he tells you to do something, you do it. It's simple. You obey. And so he has this powerful revelation that's going to ultimately become the firstborn from the dead. The I am that I am is ultimately Jesus Christ. And Moses is receiving this, like I said, last Sunday, long, long before this is ever going to come to pass. And as Pastor Glover has pointed out, he sees him on Mount Transfiguration, a type of what the glorification will look like. Not of his spiritual body, of course, but what the glorification looks like on Mount Transfiguration when he talks with Moses and Elijah, the witness of the prophets, a witness of the law, all pointing, saying it's being fulfilled with Jesus Christ. Moses is getting this powerful revelation. They go and they convince the Israelites that God's coming to rescue them. He gives them the message with Aaron. They show him the miracles. And Israel's like, go for it. And I'm going to switch to the New Living Translation now. It's Exodus 5. Verse 1, after this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh, and they told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." "Is that so?" retorted Pharaoh. "And who is the Lord? And why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." But Aaron and Moses persisted. "The God of the Hebrews has met with us," they declared. "So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with the sword." And now we're seeing this reaction of what supernatural spiritual warfare is going to look like. We preach it like you got dominion, which you do. We preach it like you got authority to cast out demons, what you do, and you should have already done. We preach it with the power and authority that comes with Jesus Christ. And we preach it like we're unbeatable, which we're unbeatable in Jesus Christ. But there is a battle. And it's not going to be just one and done. I said it, I spoke it, it's over with. I don't have to come back to it. Or there's not going to be any kickback. Or there's not going to be any kind of a counterattack from the enemy. And this is how he counterattacks now in our day and age. Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron," so they're obviously in a place where other Israelites can hear them. They're obviously in a place where the slaves, the servants of Israel can hear what's going on. Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their tasks? Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you're stopping them from their work." And so what you did just now when you spoke it, Pastor Glover, or when we entered this season and you're pushing that we're going to be victorious by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the blood, and that we don't give in to what the world's demanding us to give in to, and we don't bow the knee to Black Lives Matter Incorporated, and we don't just allow things to take place, and we don't just succumb to what the liberal movement's trying to do with this election, and we don't just buy into the lies that because President Trump doesn't speak so great, that makes him such a terrible person. We don't give in to those lies. If you're someone that lives for God, if you are God's people, then you love God's people, which is Israel. Israel is more important to God than America. And President Trump has done more for Israel than any president by far. Peace is impossible over there. That will never happen without a two-state agreement with Palestine. And we have two peace agreements that have been signed over there. President Trump has been nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes. I'm sure he's not going to get them. But if you call yourself a man or woman of God, then you should be against abortion. And there's not one liberal that is against abortion. I can guarantee you there's not one Democrat that's against abortion. So guess what? We have come to a point in America where politics and religion do line up. And if you're so selfish about your own desires and what you want the government to do for you, that you're going to allow thousands and thousands of Moseses to be aborted, if you're so selfish, then you're not God's people. God's people are against innocent blood being shed because God's against it. God abhors it. God hates it. And so, America, President Trump has done so much for the people of God. And so who cares how he talks? Who cares what that appearance is or what it isn't? Who cares what debates are like? President Trump's God's man, and you need to be praying that God would push people into those booths to vote for President Trump. It's become a spiritual thing. God almost washed his hands of this whole mess. And that will quickly happen again. It can quickly happen again. I want to see this final harvest. I want to see righteousness sweep through this land. And it's not going to happen until abortion's gone. I want to see the name of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, sweep through America and the world until this revelation and knowledge of Jesus Christ covers America and the world like the oceans cover the sea. That's what I want to see. And so this warfare that we're warring is on behalf of God's kingdom and on behalf of the plan of God. We bought into this. And so if you're going to be a man or woman of God, you're going to have to buy into this. And I'm telling you, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, you have nothing to worry about. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you before you pray. You have nothing to worry about because you're just following the flow of the Holy Ghost. And you're just praying what God's having you pray. You're not praying in English. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. And God's going to do it for you. That's warring and rest. I'm telling you, that is the missing ingredient, and it has been for years in the apostolic movement, is we don't pray in the Holy Ghost enough. We do not do it enough. Not in prayer. No, we don't. Sharon Denny, you might. You pray in the Holy Ghost, but we don't do it enough. We don't, as a group, pray in the Holy Ghost enough. We're not fluent in the Holy Ghost. We don't know how to flow in the Holy Ghost because we don't pray in the Holy Ghost. And we need to pray in that Holy Ghost so we can war and rest, so we can be victorious and rest. It's the greatest gift God has given us. It is our rest. It is our peace. I could go right down the list. But right now I'm saying when you're praying, you're in the Holy Ghost, the great majority of the time, you're not going to know what you're praying about. So you can just concentrate on flowing in the Holy Ghost, being sensitive to God's emotions that he's expressing to you there in prayer. And you can go into weeping. You can go into just regular communication with him. Whatever direction he feels like going, you go. But praying in the Holy Ghost, God will teach you how to be an unbeatable warrior for him in prayer. In the Holy Ghost, I am unbeatable. I've never lost. Zero. It's the Holy Ghost. That's our gift. But Pharaoh looks at Moses and Aaron, and now he's going to blame what Moses and Aaron have said to him. He's going to blame what he's going to do next to the Israelites. So now it's Moses and Aaron's fault. He says, do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves, but still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out. Let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies. That's what the spirit of this age is speaking at all times. At all times, it's speaking that We're stepping out in faith, and now we have COVID in our church. We're stepping out in faith. Why are we sick? We're stepping out in faith. Why are we having financial problems? Stepping out in faith. Why are we having this, that, and the other thing? And spiritual warfare is spiritual warfare. And it's been settled before we step into this battle. We just have to persevere through it. Warfare is not easy. And the spirit of Athaliah, the spirit of Jezebel, all those passive-aggressive, all of those sinister and demonic spirits are gonna start speaking that it's because of what the spiritual authority is saying is what's causing the problems in your house. It's what the spiritual authority from the pulpit's saying that's causing things to go bad for you, and now it's even harder. Now I go home and it's even worse. I can't even sleep at night because of what's going on. And there's so much conflict and confusion. And it's all because of the pastor's words, or it's all because of spiritual authority, or it's all because of trying to step out and be a man or woman of God. And it's not even worth it. That's what that's saying to you right there. So the slave drivers and the foremen, they go out. They tell them, the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce just as many bricks as before. So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt in search of stubble to use as straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard. Meet your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. Then they whipped the Israelite foreman they had put in charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quotas either, yesterday or today, they demanded. So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him. Please don't treat your servants like this, they begged. We are given no straw, but the slave drivers still demand make bricks. We're being beaten, but it isn't our fault. Your own people are to blame. But Pharaoh shouted, "You're just lazy, lazy. That's why you're saying, 'Let us go and offer sacrifices to the Lord.' Now get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still produce the full quota of bricks." The Israelite foreman could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, "You must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day." As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron. Here it is. Who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, "May the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands, an excuse to kill us." That, Sterling Pentecostal Church, is Moses' introduction to spiritual warfare. The next chapter, he's going to be told to become a general. He's going to be told, him and Aaron, to lead Israel out like an army by regiment, marching. They're not generals. They have no idea what's going on. But he's following the leading of the Holy Ghost. He's being obedient to what God's commanding him. And immediately, it's getting worse. And immediately, blame is getting put on the spiritual leadership. Immediately, everything that goes bad is because of Moses and Aaron. That's what the spirit of this age is going to say, no matter what. That's Pharaoh's response. That's the spirit of this age's response. That's what you're going to feel in your spirit. Any pushback at all, you're going to think that it's because of Moses and Aaron, that they're doing this and they're making this harder for me now. Because of what they had me do, now it's harder. And they expect me to keep doing this? I can't even begin to accomplish this. And so then you're going to know what you're going to do? If you give into this, you're going to go tell Pharaoh that you're his servant. You're going to go tell him that you need him to give you a break. And you think you're going to get a break? No. This is spiritual warfare, folks. Right now, Moses and Aaron see nothing but disaster. Moses, once again, is looking at failure. Once again, he's going to be questioning himself, because the last time he killed an Egyptian, the Israelites turned on him. This time, he's doing this thing with the Pharaoh, and he needs Aaron to be his voice box to the Israelites. He's commanding Pharaoh, because God made him as a god to Pharaoh, so he's commanding Pharaoh. That's what you do with the spirits of this age, by the way. If God gives you a word to speak, you command it. You command it with as much authority as you can muster. You need to learn to be comfortable with getting loud in your house. I know you don't need to be loud, but there's so many of us that aren't comfortable with our voices praying in the Holy Ghost. And so we have never broke through that. I broke through when I was at Life Church by myself in that big auditorium. I began to pray loudly in the Holy Ghost, and that busted me through this dimension of passivity, or this dimension of being hesitant and being worried about how I would sound to other people or what would happen. That busted me through into another dimension, just getting comfortable with being loud and hearing my own voice. You command it, Moses. You command Pharaoh. There's nothing easy about this, folks. I hate to tell you this, war's not fun. And we have been guaranteed, Moses has been guaranteed numerous things. He's been told already that the women are going to go spoil the Egyptians, that they're going to get their gold, silver, and their clothes. God's already told Moses this before he does this. God's already told him what he's going to do in numerous situations, and that he's going to, by many signs and wonders, going to deliver them. But Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. You're going to go say this to him, Moses, but be ready for this. He's not going to listen to you. The people don't know that. We don't know what our pastor is being told in the spirit realm from God. And with spiritual leadership, we have no right to ever question those orders that are coming down from above. With the under shepherd and the direction he's giving, And of course, I'm really being militant when I'm speaking like this, and Pastor Glover's not militant in this way. But when we're having prayer, he expects us to be there on prayer for Tuesdays. It's kingdom prayer. Sterling Pentecostal Church has been blessed with responsibility in the spirit realm. God has given us extreme power and authority to affect what happens in America and what happens in Israel. Receive that or not, that's the truth. And so when we're praying on Tuesdays, Pastor Glover expects people to be here praying. He expects us to get engaged. But when he's preaching to us, and when he's speaking about the work of his hands, when he's giving us direction, we don't question that. We obey it. We allow that conviction to get into our spirits. We don't know what he told Moses. We don't know that Moses has already been told that he's going to say no, that Pharaoh's going to say no. I'm going to harden his heart. He's going to say no. Moses is still going to have a hard time dealing with that. He's still going to question his own self. How many times does our pastor or spiritual leadership, how many times do they go home and question what they just did or what they said, or did I say it right, or what did I do wrong, or why didn't it work out, and what am I doing, and how much time do they spend questioning that with God? None of this is going to make sense in our own minds. The way God works is not going to make sense to us in our own minds. We have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. The leading of the Holy Ghost is something you have to be sensitive to. And if you're going by what you think's the right thing to do, you're wrong. You read this Bible, they never do what you think would be the right thing to do. Gideon, you got too many people. Gideon, I want you to take these pictures or these deals covering the light, and you're going to break those. And what a great attack plan with the 300 he had. Dropped down from, you know, a sizable amount. It never makes sense what God does. Samson, you grab that jawbone of an ass, start beating people to death with it. I'll make sure it doesn't shatter and break. He didn't say that, but he had to make sure it didn't shatter or break because he killed quite a few people with it. Ridiculous. Those are ridiculous examples almost. But right now, we're finally in this moment where we're getting a little bit of pushback. And spiritual warfare is what Moses is looking at right here. The spirit Pharaoh is blaming it. What I'm going to do to these people is because of Moses and Aaron, just to let you guys know. You're getting whipped because of these two. And so now the separation is taking place, and there's this nasty war going on. And these slaves who could, if they wanted to, they could band together and overcome the Egyptians just by themselves. There's so many of them, and they're so strong. Not one of them limps out of Egypt. Not one of them's feeble leaving Egypt. We're talking about some healthy people that could just rise up and do it on their own. But they're slaves in their mind. And they're being told that you're a slave. And so they're a servant to Pharaoh. And they call themselves servants to Pharaoh. Don't you dare call yourself a servant to anything of this world. You're not. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God. Don't you dare ever call yourself or allow yourself to be called a servant of anything but God. Good night. It's ugly, folks. I was thinking about this and going to the Egyptian homes and taking their jewels and trying to place that with souls, trying to place that with those guys willingly, the Egyptians willingly gave them their treasure, willingly gave of their clothes to the Israelites that night. What is going to bring in a harvest? What is going to bring in souls? It's this. It's Moses. You're going to have to stay the course, man. You're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to say what I tell you to say. And there's going to be doubt. There's going to be all these conversations that Moses has with God, because God's always refining us in the process. God's refining Pastor Glover. God's refining Misha Glover. God's refining every minister, Bishop Blackshear. God's still refining him. In this process, we're always being refined, and always God's wanting to reveal more of himself to us. And so as Moses is questioning himself, and he's questioning what God's telling him to do, and he's doubting, and he's having these issues, God has given him a revelation deeper and deeper of who he really is, the rock. I better stop on that part with Moses, because it's Jesus Christ who he starts to see. That angel in the bush goes with him in the wilderness. He has a personal relationship with this. You know, the Jewish people do the Selichot prayers. Selichot, said it wrong. It's S-E-L-I-C-H-O-T prayers. And it's prayers for forgiveness, knowing that God's going to forgive them based off of the revelation that Moses got in Exodus 34 when God showed him or declared his name to him. It was such a powerful moment that they use that every year when they're praying prayers of repentance, and they know God's going to answer. They know God's going to forgive. He's refining Moses, but it's already a done deal. Before Moses opened his mouth the first time, it was a done deal. And this first time he opens his mouth and actually faces off with Pharaoh, it gets worse, by far worse. And it's blamed on Moses and Aaron. And now they're having to find all their own equipment to make these bricks. And the foremen who are in charge of the people that are doing the labor are the ones getting whipped. And now they're all turning against Moses and Aaron. And what are you going to do? And that is not Stone Pentecostal Church. I know it isn't. I know we won't turn against Pastor and Sister Glover. I know that. But we have to stay focused behind the goal of seeing a harvest, behind the goal of seeing righteousness in America, behind the goal of making this place a better place than we've experienced for our children, and doing what we can in the spirit realm to bring heaven down to earth and to be obedient to what Pastor Glover is preaching, what men and women of God from this pulpit are preaching and promising. Not fear, not living in any fear. You pull these out. You go back. You need to work at it. You know what, that really is what comes down to, is so many people are lazy. So many people watching this expect everything to be done for you in this kind of an environment and in a walk with God. You don't actually take the time to dig out the treasure for yourself, to go back to the services and to write down these tongues interpretations like I do. You don't take the time to go back and refresh your memory and to speak them over and over again and refuse to allow fear to come into your mind and refuse to allow doubt to come into your mind. And when you're starting to feel doubt, you call someone or you talk to someone that you know for a fact is going to get you back where you need to go. I call my twin brother, Greg. I talk to my wife, Megan. When I have doubt, just the other day, I was starting to doubt this whole election process, and Greg set me straight in a real powerful way. When you got to work at this. This isn't easy. Being a powerful man or woman of God or striving for the kingdom goals is not easy. You've got to actually do work yourself. You who are watching, you've got to dig through this yourself. We were talking to the Denny's, and they were talking about how many hours they'll spend studying the word and getting lost in this. Because this is how you become a child of God. This is how you stay a child of God. And when we're facing this COVID-19, when we're facing uncertainty, this is how you stay full of faith. And this is how you can go through and not be feeling good, not having a good day. You don't have to be feeling all vibrant. You don't even have to be feeling spiritual. But you're focused. You're not going to waver. Nothing is going to make you move backward, forward. I'm sick. I'm aching. I'm grouchy. But I am still never going to give up on focusing on God and not allowing the world to overcome me. That's what Sterling Pentecostal Church, we are in a fight right now, and it's right here. It's dirty, and it's nasty, and it looks like things just got way worse. It's already been settled. Listen to me. It has already been settled through many, many tongues interpretations, many prophetic words. It's settled. We just have to walk through this. It's warfare. You need to get a hold of yourself. You need a man up, woman up. This isn't easy, but it's heaven and hell. Lake of fire. It's the one of the two we're facing right now. We're not playing. We're playing for keeps. This is a game for keeps. And if nothing else, if I don't accomplish one thing, if I've been wrong about all the times that I've been in Israel in the spirit, all the times that Stern Pentecostal Church has changed America's environment, changed their destiny through prayer, if I'm wrong about that, I'm still going to make it, no matter what. If I don't accomplish anything, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make sure Jackson makes it. I'm going to make sure Megan makes it. And Jackie and Jasmine, they're going to make it. And that, if nothing else, that's what's going to take place. We have got to get strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you can stand in that evil day. Do not all to stand, stand therefore. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Pray that we would trust praying in tongues, that we would trust praying in the Holy Ghost, that we would strive to have that be our prayer language, that we would strive to become comfortable and learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost if we haven't learned how to do that yet, that we would do what it takes to stay on top of fear, that we would do what it takes to not get discouraged to the point that we give up, to not let this live stream cause our spiritual houses to freeze like it has so many people. There's so many people that have backslidden because of this COVID-19 and this live stream lie. We need each other. That iron sharpeneth iron, but we need each other. It's always been a commandment. The sanctuary has always been a place, a meeting place. We might get to that point where we're having group homes and we're having home groups and we're doing things like that. It's never going to replace an actual gathering together of the called out ones and pricking each other to love and good works and pricking each other to grow and holding each other up, being close to each other so the gifts of the Spirit actually operate. Instead of me whipping out some, oh, I feel in the Holy Ghost, someone watching right now is experiencing a little bit of sickness. And I say to you, if you would, no, really this the moving of the Holy Ghost really takes place face to face. The house to house thing that Pastor Glover's got, this is the house. All right, I've gone too long. I love you guys. God bless you. Appreciate Aaron doing the live stream. And we'll see you on Tuesday night for prayer at 7 o'clock, Lord.